Welcome to Strut It, a place where CEOs and entrepreneurs circle up and get real about how hard and deeply rewarding this whole forging your own path thing is. As a bold dreamer and innovator, it can feel like your house burns down 50 times each day as you try to build the non-conventional life you love. In this podcast, we will dance with the flames of uncertainty, self-doubt, and money scarcity as we build the business empire of our dreams so that we no longer fear the fire, but welcome the heat. I'm your host, Elizabeth Marbury, and I built a six-figure dance studio business from a Craigslist ad and a brilliant idea. Together, we strut through the flames of business ownership, sharing the crucial mindsets, strategies, and collaborations of a life and business danced full out. Hello, beautiful. Welcome back to the show. Today, I'm super excited to be sitting down with Tasha Christie, and we are going to be talking about how to explode your marketing and impact by leveraging your human design. And Tasha is an energetic and marketing coach and copywriter. She's also a human design expert. She actually did a human design reading for me, which was super, super transformational for me that I'm excited to kind of share what I learned from Tasha in this interview as well. So Tasha helps transformational entrepreneurs to show up powerfully and authentically so that they can make the impact that they want to make. So Tasha, welcome to the show. I'm so excited you're here.
Yay, I'm excited too. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, I first heard about human design only a couple years ago, and I honestly am still very much a newbie in this field. So I'm super excited to talk to you as the expert. And I'd love to kind of start at square one. What is human design?
Human design basically tells you how your, depending on your birth information, how you're designed to move in the world, how you're designed to manifest, what things need to be in place for you to really be able to live the life that you want with ease, flow, fun, and joy. That's basically it. It's kind of like a mixture of a different Western and Eastern modalities. It's similar to astrology in that it's not a personality test. And that's what, you know, a lot of times people think, you know, it's not my personality. No, like this is based on facts around your birth. So as long as your birth facts are correct, then this is your profile. This is who you are. Now I kind of teach it more intuitively though, rather than by the book. So I always tell people like, you know, this just doesn't feel right for you, then just chuck it. Like it's not really designed to put you in a box. You're supposed to really move and flow with it and see how it works specifically for you.
So why as an entrepreneur is it important to know your human design? Like how does that impact us as we build our businesses?
For me, the way I use it with clients is it really helps with marketing, content creation, everything. I mean, really how to structure your programs, whether you want intimate, you know, one-on-one programs or group style programs, how to launch, you know, by design, like pretty much all aspects of your business can really, you know, be impacted by that. And it really helps you to move more easily and with more flow. Instead of, you know, having all these marketing rules and business rules, because in the online coaching space in particular, we have a lot of rules that we're taught, you know, and this is the way it's supposed to work for you. And it doesn't necessarily, you know, apply to you specifically. And a lot of the times what happens in business also is that most business coaches, to be honest, are either manifestors or generators. And so if you're a projector, you know, that the way that they're teaching you is more than likely not going to work for you. It's going to exhaust you. you know, or if you're a reflector, it's gonna, you know, really kind of exhaust you. And so knowing about your human design in particular, but also knowing about human design in general, allows you to really be able to kind of, you know, tailor your advice and your coaching for the particular client. So it really, to me, is really helpful in not only in helping you, you know, as an individual run your business, but also if you want to learn about it to help your clients, it's really helpful as well.
Yeah, I love what you're saying about, you know, in business or building an online business, there's all these rules, and a lot of us kind of like kill ourselves over like, okay, they said that I need to post every single day, so I'm going to post every single day. And that's kind of one of those rules you hear about. And I remember, Tasha, that you said something at one point where you're like, I only post when I'm feeling inspired. And what's cool is that the consistency. I remember you said this and it like stuck with me forever. You're like, consistency is just an energy. It's like, it's not necessarily like posting your content every single day. You said that you post things that are really powerful that people are still liking and commenting on like weeks later. And I love that so much, because I think as an entrepreneur, as a person who's constantly like creating content, sometimes that's just one example of a rule that like you can start to easily burn out in your business if you're not really in tune with what works for you. Cause like for some people, I'm sure that does work, like the content calendar and like, let's plan out the whole month. And I know like that doesn't work for me at all. No, and that's where you helped me actually, Tasha, is I did a human design reading with Tasha, and she helped me. So I'm an emotional generator, and she was coaching me to say, Elizabeth, you do best in response. So if you're just kind of like pulling out like content out of your butt, like just because you're trying to like post things, it's not going to do well. It's like, you have to have like an emotional response. Yeah. And then that's when you create. And that has been such a game changer for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that, like for me, like, you know, I say consistency is an energy, because as long as you're in alignment, it is the energy that leads with the content. It's not the words. Like people think, oh, you know, I need to, and it doesn't mean that like copy doesn't matter. Like it does. I mean, I'm a copywriter. I help people, you know, write really good copy that converts. But if the energy isn't right, the words won't really matter, to be honest, because people can feel the energy like sometimes before they even start reading a post, it kind of just jumps out, and it makes you either want to read it and engage with it, or you just want to throw on high because this doesn't feel right. It feels desperate, or, you know, something. And so that's a lot of what I work with my clients on. It's like really developing the energy and of consistency in that, you know, when they post, people engage with it, and they engage with it over and over and over again. Every time you get new people, every time new people come into my space, and nowadays, for some reason, lately I've been getting friend requests every single day. And like they engage with the content again.
So what are the different types, like human design types, I guess, maybe you could give us like a general overview. I know everyone is really unique, but I know you dropped some words earlier, like projector, manifestor. And I'm sure people are like, what the heck is this lady talking about?
Yeah. So there are five types in human design. And, basically it's like your energy type kind of, sort of. And so there are manifestors, who only are 9% of the population, not that many manifestors. And they pretty much, you know, are designed to move the way that we're taught in this society we're supposed to move. Like, you know, they can basically go out and make things happen, you know, which is the reason why they're called manifestors. So they initiate, you know, and they go out, they decide they want to do something, you know, out the blue. And then they tell people, they can inform. Informing just makes the process easier. It makes communication easier with the other types. And then they go out and they do it. And that's simply, that's, is that, you know, but manifestors struggle oftentimes because they are usually conditioned to be more like generators, to kind of lean back, you know, hold back their energy, be more easygoing, when really they're supposed to show up in the room and have this really powerful presence, which, you know, either they're going to be liked, and I tell them, either people going to love you or they're not going to like you at all. And that's a part of being a manifestor, and it's nothing personal, you know. And so, yeah, so that's manifestors. And then there are generator types. There are generators and manifesting generators. They make up about 70% of the population. So most people are either going to be a generator or manifesting generator, and they are designed to create in response, and to really have this playful sort of energy where, you know, we're going through life, we're playing, we're, you know, looking for signs, you know, what to respond to. And we get signs over here, we get signs over here. And then whatever is lighting us up in the sacral area was making us really excited. That's what we, you know, we kind of follow through on. It's also, you may feel like as a generator or a manifesting generator, like you're flying by the seat of your pants, because you don't know, always know exactly where things are going to lead you. You're supposed to just follow the signs that light you up and excite you. And then, you know, trust, there's a lot of trust that comes in there, you know, that you're being led, you know, down the correct path. And then there are projectors. Projectors make about 20% of the population. Very special beings, very magnetic beings. They need, and it's not that they can't do stuff. It's not that. It's just that their energy is a little different. So they need a little bit more rest, a lot more relaxation. Their strategy is to wait, you know, for invitations. And waiting, though, doesn't mean like just sitting back and not doing anything. When it comes to business, you still need to market your business and show up. It's just, you know, managing the energy. I always say that projectors are like the lighthouse. You know, they're designed to be, you know, like a lighthouse, to shine your light and invite, you know, the people come in, they just come when they see your light. And then when you want rest, you turn it off. And then you turn it back on, and then you turn it off. And it's kind of like that. So they're naturally magnetic. I always tell them that, in the sense that they don't really have to work a whole lot to get the invitations. It's more so a state of being where they know, okay, I'm going to turn on my light and the right people are going to show up, you know? And so that's them. And then lastly, reflectors only make up 1% of the population, around 1%. So they're very rare. They're lunar beings, and they are unique in that all of their centers, on the human design chart, briefly, you have like 9 little shapes on your chart, and it's kind of similar to the chakras. And theirs is all white. So you automatically know that somebody is a reflector if their chart is all white. There's no colors. You know, he said there might be a few little gates, you know, highlighted here and there, but the shapes are all white. So they pretty much absorb and amplify all over their body. So it's really important for them to surround themselves with, you know, like the right people, have be in the right environment. So their sense of overall well-being will be, you know, intact. And they say that they're designed because they move according to the cycles of the moon. So it's 28 days to kind of decide what they really, really want to do. But realistically in life, you know, it's hard to take 28 days to decide stuff. So I always tell them, you know, to tell people that they to lean into when is the right time and when is the right decision, you know, for them.
Okay. So I am an emotional generator. Are there different kinds of generators?
Well, there in human design, there are different types, but there's also authority. And so the emotional part is your authority. So there are 9 types of authorities, and authority basically just tells you your decision-making process. and, you know, and usually responds to one of the centers in your chart that's defined. And so it tells you how to go about making decisions in the way that you were designed, as opposed to how we're taught in this society, which is logically, you know, we're taught to make logical decisions. And so, but really we're supposed to make decisions with the body. And so when you get into the centers and you get into your authority, then you become more embodied and tapping into that intuitive knowledge that your body naturally has. And so that's usually how I use authority in human design.
I love that. So this practice of embodying your human design, what, you know, I would imagine your first step is understanding like what is your human design, mm-hmm. but what are some general, you know, tips or tools or takeaways that our listeners can do to start to embody this work?
Well, I say the first step towards embodiment is to really just take small little steps and start doing, you know, the thing. Like, for example, you find out you're a generator and you know, okay, that means that I have to create things in response. And so that's what you start doing. You start becoming more present to your environment, what's going on. You know, you may start writing down and journaling about the different things that are happening in your life and how it's making you feel and what's your reaction to it, what's your response to it. And then the content will start to kind of come and the ideas from you being more present and you noticing the things that are happening in your life. Because as a generator, the more you go out and live life, the more things you'll get to respond to. Because there's always something going on, you know? And so it's kind of like in the beginning, taking those little steps. Also, start tapping into how your body feels. You know what I'm saying? Like because a lot of times we're in our heads so much, so often. And that to me is the biggest thing about human design, is really helping you to connect with your body. And so, you know, the first thing I tell people, you know, start at the level of type. But another thing that's super important is to really start tapping into your authority and your centers. And I have like this whole course like around like the human design centers and how to use it to create embodied content. But that, like, that's one of the things, you know, I tell people to start with, though, it's first type, because everybody knows, okay, I'm a generator, I'm a manifesting generator, I'm a this, you know, manifester, whatever. And so just start with playing around with the strategy and seeing how it feels and, you know, seeing what comes from you taking the little steps and doing the little things. And then the more you just keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And after a while, it becomes kind of like second nature.
I love that human design really encourages us to get back into our bodies, because I totally am in alignment with you around that, that it's like, the answers are always in the body. It's like, mm-hmm. rarely do we like sit down and we can just like think our way through to a solution. It's like our bodies hold all the answers. And it really is this like relearning practice of listening to your body. And I know when you worked with me, you had talked about like really tapping into like the sacral before making decisions. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that? Because I think a lot of people, that would be beneficial to a lot of people, no matter what their human design is. Mm-hmm. So maybe just sharing with us, like, what does that mean? Because you and I are like, tap into your sacral. And we just, you know, we're like, yeah, but like, let's bring this down to earth. Like, what does that mean? How do you do that?
Basically, your sacral is located in your gut. And so what I normally do, which I don't actively do this anymore because now it's like second nature. But when I first started and I was trying to really, you know, on a daily basis, tap into my sacral, I started by like breathing, you know, into my diaphragm and then asking myself yes, no questions, putting my hands on my gut area and moving them around, you know, to connect with that area of my body, and then asking, you know, yes, no questions, and then waiting for what, you know, what's the first answer that comes up intuitively. So for some people, they'll feel something in their sacral, in that gut area. And then some people will hear an instinctive, you know, yes, no, you know, an excitement, you know, something coming through, and then, you know, moving with that energy. Like, you know, you found out, okay, your sacral said yes to do this thing and you're super excited about it, then go do it. You know, one of the things, the nuances that I've kind of tweaked over the last year and a half is that I used to feel like, as a generator, because that's what I was taught, that even when I got the sacral hell yes, that I then had to wait for something else to come through. And you don't have to do that, really, as a generator in particular, but all the types, you can move with the energy of the decision that you've made. You know what I'm saying? Now you've tapped into your body. You know it's coming from the body. It's not coming from the head. And I tell people the distinction between head decisions and body decisions are that body decisions are instinctual. They're not going to give you a whole bunch of information. You're going to feel a rush of excitement. Like, for example, if you're a splenic authority, you know, and you're a projector or a manifest, and you get spleen intuitive hits from the body, that's going to be instinctual in the moment. You move with that. Whereas the head is going to say yes, but then it's going to ask you all these questions and give you pros and cons. And well, what if this happens and all this stuff, right? The body's not going to do that. It's just going to give you a quick, you know, intuitive response. And then you move with that because you know, okay, this is coming from my body. I can trust it, you know? Yeah. Whereas the head is like, it will rationalize you out of your bodily intuitive hits if you allow it to.
Totally. What's coming through to me right now is that, like, creativity dies in our heads sometimes, right? Yes. Like that, like, the create, like, you get this, like, super creative idea and you're like, oh, I'm gonna make this, and your body,
and then
like,
you overthink super... it. That's me. I do that a lot. I mean, just to be completely transparent and honest, because we all know that, like, I mean, even though I can see this in other people, sometimes with me as a blind spot, so I have a coach and she'll point that out to me. But yeah, like, it will talk you out of the things that are really exciting. And one of the things that I do sometimes, that this time I got a really exciting idea about this agency that I want to start, right? And so immediately my head is like, oh, Tasha, go do research so you can figure out exactly how to do it. I didn't do that this time, though. I was like, no, I'm just going to let the exciting feeling marinate. I'm not going to, you know, kill it by trying to figure everything out. You know what I'm saying? And so don't do that. Like, if you're one of those people who, you know, you get an exciting idea and then you're like, oh my God, I don't know how to do this. It's okay. Like, ask the universe. Like, universe, send me, you know, some signs, send me the right people, you know, connect me with a coach, you know, who may be able to help me something. But don't let me go read and do research. I don't need to do that because that's gonna kill the excitement a lot. So
I love that yeah. So much, because I always say that, like, in my business with my dance studio business, I have just, like, built the plane as I'm flying it. It's just like, I'm just doing it as I go. And yes, you could argue, like, okay, there's some fundamental pieces that I've overlooked that I'm going to have to go back and look at, which is actually true.
But it's okay, though.
But that's okay, because I built this beautiful business
that's
actually flying without me. And if I had spent all that time in the beginning crafting everything perfectly, it's like, would I even
be? You would have lost the excitement. And that's another thing, especially, like, for generators and in manifesting generators, but all the types, is that, like, move with the excitement. Because the excitement is going to carry you a lot further than, like, all the planning and mapping out everything will. Because you can always go back and fill in the gaps. You can get, like I said, be connected with a coach or somebody who can kind of help you to put the back end stuff together that you may have forgotten to do in the beginning. Like, it's okay. And a lot of times we feel like it's a safety thing. And I find this with content creation too, is that a lot of the times people really want to be safe. So they feel like, okay, well, if I don't map out all of my content, I don't have everything mapped out, then I'm not going to post anything and nobody's going to buy anything. Because that's what it is. They're afraid that if they're not constantly talking about their offers, because that's what we're taught, nobody's going to buy. And that's not true. Like, I mean, I barely post. Like, I'm really bad about it. I'm trying to get to the way I'm like consistently posting about offers, but I barely post about offers. People come into my space after I've posted like this vulnerable story, or, you know, like I've talked this about something political, you know, that's really controversial. And then people who agree with me will come in my inbox and be like, oh my God, I love your energy. I want to work with you. And it has nothing to do with what I do.
Oh my gosh. And that's, I feel like that's one of your superpowers, Tasha, and like pulling that out of your clients. Cause I felt that way after our coaching call, of just like, you were really encouraging me, because I was kind of in that boat of feeling like, well, do I post about this? Because it's not my program, or it's not my studio. Or, and I remember, you know, one of the things that you said is like, don't be afraid of being polarizing. Like, it's okay to have a strong opinion about something. It's okay to have certain people like fall away from you, because you probably wouldn't want that person in your program anyways. Right. Mm-hmm. So, and I feel like you embody that so well, where you just like, you show up so unapologetically and you say what you think, and there's no like apologies about it. You're just like, this is my thoughts on the matter. Yeah. And it is really interesting, because that can be really scary, but it also is like, I've had the same experience where it does magnetize people to you. And you know, when you're doing it from a place of authentic, like this is your authentic viewpoint, mm-hmm. it's like the right people are going to be drawn to you. Mm-hmm. And it helps you to like stand out from the crowd too. You know, if everyone's kind of like playing it safe, and then you're the one who's like, I'm going to say that thing that everyone's thinking, but no one's willing to say, okay, here I go, you know? Yeah.
It's something that I used to struggle with too. Like when I first came into like the coaching space, I came from like a super professional, you know, nine to five, you know, I had gone and I'd gotten a master's degree. I had all these credentials, all this stuff. So it was super buttoned up. And that's how I appeared in the beginning of my coaching business. Like if you look back to 2016, 17, and some of my content, like if I had shown up the way that I show up now and actually talked about shit that mattered, you know, in the industry, I would have gotten a lot more clients than I did. And, you know, I thought, I was like, oh, I have to be super professional, and I got to show everybody what I know, and, you know, make people believe I'm competent. And so that was what my, you know, that's what my emphasis was on when I first came through, because that's incorporate in your 9 to 5, that's where you get successful. You don't really get successful by showing people you're in the authentic self. You know, people don't want to know about that. They don't care about your emotions. They don't want you to cry. If you need to cry, you got to go in the bathroom or go sit in your car or something on a break. You know what I'm saying? But in the online space, it's totally opposite. People are looking for real people. You know, and so the more authentic you are, the more, you know, you will find the people who are really aligned with you, you know. It does take vulnerability though. And a lot of people, you know, we still have kind of vulnerability wounds, you know, and especially in, you know, certain cultures, certain, you know, backgrounds, it's kind of frowned upon for you to show that your vulnerabilities in public. I was taught specifically as a Black woman that everything has to be perfect, you know, in public. Like you don't ever show anybody your weaknesses because they can use it against you. And I mean, that has happened, you know, to us in the past. But now, you know, I feel like in this business that I'm in right now, I'd rather people know me upfront, and then they can decide whether or not, okay, she's for me, or, you know, that's, she's not my cup of tea. Okay, that's fine. You know, I'd rather you know that and not join my program than you think I'm one way and then you join and you find something else and then we have a problem. You know what I'm saying? That could have been avoided.
Yeah, I so appreciate you sharing that, because I think a lot of people have, and I love that you brought up, like, it's all about how you were raised and the culture you were raised in. And I think a lot of people edit themselves for fear of what are people going to think. And, yep. And yeah, that fear. And like you said, like that's actually happened to you, or that has been held, you know, held against you, or, you yeah. know, and yet here you are still showing up, still doing your thing. And I think it definitely takes a sense of confidence, I guess, of just knowing that I'm going to, if you choose to be a marketer and like show up publicly, mm-hmm. there is always going to be risk of haters. And mm-hmm. I actually had this guy comment on my Instagram video the other day, and he's like, "You're a terrible dancer."
Oh, wow.
And I just wrote back and I just like, I said, "Thank you," like with like a laughing emoji. And then I said, "You're worthy of love and respect."
That's and not then, what he wanted. He wanted you to, you know, come back at him. That's
yes. And I was just like, but honestly, I mean, and obviously there's different layers of hate, which, you know, mm-hmm. like that kind of BS I could like tolerate, right? Something yeah. else, you know, it can feel risky, but I do feel, and I see in you, it's like the risk is worth the reward, because you get to be yourself. And I see the people that interact with your content, and I know that you are such a leader of, like, other women see you and say, "She's speaking her mind, and she's not claiming to be perfect, and look at her, like, she's flying," you know?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I don't know how people get clients from this inauthentic image thing that a lot of us like to do, but it didn't work for me. I tried, honestly, like the professional, you know, totally buttoned up, never saying curse words, you know, never talking about your real experience thing, did not work for me. I didn't start consistently getting clients until I started to be more vulnerable and show up and really talk about the stuff that was going on. I couldn't do it. I tried. I mean, people liked me. They liked my content. And, you know, they thought I was really smart and, you know, all this stuff, but they didn't want to work with me, you know. It wasn't until I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to start sharing, you know, my thoughts, my feelings, and what's going on in my life, what I'm struggling with, you know, and see what happens, because I can't pretend to be somebody that I'm not, and I can't not show up. Another thing I used to do, I wouldn't show up, like on days where I felt bad, or, you know, if I was really angry, I didn't want to come out and be angry, you know. It was a lot, you know, of things that I was hiding, because back then, especially when I first came onto the scene in coaching, that's what they taught you. Like, you're not supposed to talk about controversial issues. You're not supposed to show too much emotion, especially if you're a woman, because they already think we're overly emotional anyway. And this is a male dominated space. And, you know, so the men are going to think X, Y, Z about you. I mean, who gives a fuck about what they think? You know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, like I said, I don't know how it works for other people, but it did not work for me.
I agree totally. And I've heard the saying many times, which I feel like kind of resonates with this conversation, is that ultimately people buy people. They don't buy services and packages and, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've been talking about this a lot.
Yeah. And I feel like that's kind of what you're sharing, is you're like, once I started just being me, people could connect to you on like an emotional level, see you as a human. And I remember you telling me this in my reading, is you're like, "Elizabeth, just be more like a human." I was like, "Damn it. Yeah. I've been overthinking this marketing thing. I just have to be a human." Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been saying that a lot lately. It's like that people buy you. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, your offer, of course, you need to have, you know, certain things. An offer needs to be clear and people need to know what they're getting, whatever. But once you get over that, like once you've done that, the rest of it is you really showing up as you, because people are buying you and your energy, because everybody's selling the same shit. Like, don't you see that? Like in the business coaching space, everybody sells the same programs. It's the same stuff. And it's nothing different. The only difference is, okay, I love her and I love her energy. Let me go work with her because we super align. We have the same values. She cares about the things that I care about. She's a mother like me, so she knows what it's like to have kids, you know, and trying to, you know, or have a partner and I'm trying to run a business and all this stuff, you know, or she's Black. She's a Black woman. And so she knows, she understands my, you know, unique situation, you know, or she, you know, has created a safe space for all different types of people to come into her thing. So I know I can be myself and she's not going to, you know, make me feel like any differently about anything. You know, that's what people are buying. And a lot of the times we get caught up in, oh my God, I have to make the sales page perfect, you know, in order for them to buy. No, like, yeah, my copy is great. I mean, I get really good conversion on the sales page, whatever, but people buy it ultimately because they want to be in my energy and they want to learn from me, you know. And if I wasn't showing up, you know, the way that I've shown up, honestly, half the clients I've had over the last 2 years I wouldn't have, because people come and they're like, oh well, you know, when I really started paying attention to you was when you wrote that, I wrote this post about motherhood, I think it was like almost two years ago.
I still remember it. Yes, yeah. I still remember it. And that was one of the things that I was like, I love this girl. Like, she's amazing. Yeah.
And then they've been telling me that, oh my God, I read your post about motherhood and it resonated me. I shared this other post, really personal, about, you know, being violated, you know, in a doctor's office when I was a child. So many people had the same experience. And to this day, people tell me like, oh my God, like I read that post and I was like, since then I've paid attention to everything you've done. And when you put the right offer out for me, that's when people come. So it's not really about the specific offer. I mean, yeah, you launch the things that are exciting to you at the time, whatever. The people are going to come in when they're ready, you know, as long as you're showing up authentically and, you know, serving from that place.
I love that so much, so much. And you have helped me, I mean, in just our little time working together, doing the human design reading that you did for me and just with me following you, you've helped me to do that. And I know that you inspire so many people. And I just have one more question before we close, which is that, you know, it's funny. My father, he was like such a, he was very interesting man because he was very, very spiritual, but he also had this very strong, like I called the doubting Thomas in him. Like, always like, well, I don't know about this. And like, what's the science behind this? And so for anyone listening, who's like, okay, I'm intrigued about human design, but like they're feeling kind of skeptical about it, or is it real? Like, what would you say to that?
I would say to give it a try. I mean, it's not going to kill you. You know what I'm saying? So you decide, okay, I'm a generator. Let me go and practice this, or let me go and get a reading, you know, from somebody to see if this is even, you know, if this resonates with me or if I even want to use it. Let me do a little bit more research on it, talk to some other people to see if they've, you know, played around with it and it's worked for them. You know, I mean, that's what I would tell somebody, is to just really have an open mind. I mean, because for me, at first I was skeptical too, because I remember I got my first reading and my coach was like, oh, well, Tasha, you know, you're a generator, you're really supposed to play and have fun and, you know, just go out and live your life. And at that time, I was like the kind of entrepreneur who would have tasks to complete every single day. Like I was working, like doing busy work, you know, the stuff we do when we kind of in the beginning of our business and we think we have to do it in order for stuff to be successful. And still nobody was buying at that time. This was like 3 years ago. And so I didn't believe her when she told me, oh, well, Tasha, you're supposed to just be chilling and having fun and, you know, enjoying your life and da, da, da. And, you know, so I kind of was like, okay, whatever, you know, I got the reading. And then some time went on and then I ended up working with her one-on-one. And so I started to, you know, implement the stuff and I saw the difference almost immediately. Like within a couple of weeks, I felt a lot more ease. Content was flowing a lot better. You know, I was responding to things instead of trying to pull content out of my ass, you know, that kind of thing. People were engaging more. I was starting to cause controversy. People were annoyed with me because I was responding to their posts and they thought it was something personal against them. It's not. I'm a generator. I just respond. That's what I'm supposed to do. You know, like that kind of stuff started happening. So I say just give it a try. And if it's not for you, because there's some people who just like, I don't do any of the modalities. That's fine. You don't have to do it. You know, but it's something that, I mean, if you give it a good go at it, I promise you it will change the way you see things, the way you see yourself, the way you see your business, you know, or career, and just, you know, seeing how just more ease, more fun, joy, you know, relaxation, rest, and being able to bring things into your life anyway. You know, not always having to hustle and go out and make things happen, just, you know, and then seeing what works for you. Because like I said, I always say human design is a playground. It's not, you know, a box. It's not a rule book that you got to tick off. I got to be the perfect generator. No, it's not that. It's okay. Let me play with it. Let me see what works for me. Let me, you know, lean into my authority and see how my body feels, you know, when I'm making decisions, like that kind of stuff. It's just kind of playing around with it.
I love that. What a wonderful answer. So I know that everyone is going to want to work with you after they hear this interview. So where can people find you and your awesome, inspiring content?
I'm mostly on Facebook right now. I also have an Instagram account. Not as active on Instagram, but I am on Instagram. People find me on Instagram all the time and come and ask me about my services, even though I don't barely do anything on there. But I am on there and I'm going to try to start being active, but I'm really active on Facebook. Like that's pretty much where you're going to see me, you know, constantly showing up, writing posts, you know, doing live videos when I feel like it, like that kind of stuff.
Awesome. And we'll be sure to include links to Tasha's Facebook.
You can also email me at natashachristieslp@gmail.com. And I respond to emails pretty much instantly.
Well, thank you, Tasha, so much for your time. This was so much fun. And I know that our listener is going to take a lot out of this interview. I know I was reminded and re-inspired of so many things. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm Elizabeth Marbury, and I want to thank you for being here. Let's keep the dance party going by hanging out on social media together. You can follow me on Instagram at Elizabeth Marbury or dance with me on TikTok at Wedding Dance Coach. If you love today's show, be sure to rate, review, and follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. See you next time.